Welcome to Arkansas Cooks. This is your host, Mary Tweet, and I'm here to meet and eat with Arkansas Cooks, and then I tell you all about it. We have a new correspondent at Arkansas Cooks, and he's screaming for ice cream. Don't go away. You're listening to Arkansas Cooks. Good afternoon, I'm Mary Tweet, and you are listening to Arkansas Cooks. You know, I've been thinking long and hard about expanding a bit and adding some correspondents, and you might remember that I did a wonderful interview with a blogger named Mike Roberts, Michael Roberts. Well, Michael Roberts has always been interested in food, and he's taken it really to a new level, and he is now going to be one of my correspondents. He could not wait to do this, and he did his very first show with the wonderful women at Loblolly Ice Cream Company, Sally Mingle and Rachel Moore. They were so wonderful. We sat down with Sally and Rachel and Michael, and we talked about their journey into the world of ice cream. So here we go, downtown with our new correspondent, Michael Roberts, to the Green Corner Store, and we visit Loblolly Creamery.
This is Michael Roberts with Arkansas Cooks. We are on South Main Street in Little Rock on a lovely spring day. I'm sitting here at the Green Corner Store with Sally Mingle and Rachel Moore of Loblolly Ice Cream. I'm going to talk about some ice cream and some sodas and the different things that they do here in town. I guess my first question is, what inspired the two of you to create an ice cream shop here in Little Rock, or to do your ice cream here in Little Rock?
The bar came before the ice cream. The Green Corner Store got these lovely new old school pharmacy fixtures, the wood shelving, the marble bar, the backdrop is this giant mirror with wood engraving, kind of like an early 1900s soda fountain.
And it really has that look to it of something you would see in an old film or an old TV show.
It's the real deal.
Yep.
So this wasn't always here?
No. It's close to the original of what the store used to be. It was a pharmacy from 1906 to 1967, and it had a working soda fountain. And these fixtures are very original. So we felt like we should get back to the roots of what this space used to be and open a soda fountain. To complement the store, we felt like since they kind of honor local and green and sustainable, we should try to do that, emulate that with our soda fountain. So we decided to do everything from scratch.
How hard was that?
It's been a process of trial and error.
And you do a lot of the cooking, don't you, Rachel?
For the most part. Dan now does most of the production of the ice cream. I do most of the baked goods, the syrups, the toppings, other things like that. But I did develop all of the recipes for the ice cream bases.
What kind of process was that like before you even opened? I guess there's two processes here. How long did it take to get the bar and the chairs and everything set up just to have a physical presence? And how long did it take you to develop a case of flavors of ice cream or your bar, you know, bottles of syrup for the sodas?
For the soda fountain, it took us about a half a year to get it open.
We started selling ice cream right after the first cornbread festival in November of
2011.
Right, at Bernice. And we sold pints here out of a freezer case until April of the next year. So those 5 months were spent putting the bar in and getting all of the equipment set up.
Doing our tricky plumbing, which involves a plumbing pipe that starts at the soda fountain and goes all the way back to the store.
A pump to push all of the water to the back where the real plumbing actually is.
You're working with old architecture.
Yes.
And old fixtures here, trying to modernize it.
Right.
I could see how that could be kind of difficult. But what about the flavors of ice cream? What were your... you've got some flavors like vanilla and double chocolate that people are used to, and I also see on your board over here you've got cumin honeycomb, I think, which is a flavor. Nobody goes to the store to buy cumin honeycomb ice cream.
Double Vanilla was the first one that we started with. That was what I put most of my effort into developing. I wanted the base to be really rich and flavorful so that we could base everything else off of the vanilla. The vanilla took me probably about a month to develop. I was using this tiny little 2-quart freezer in my kitchen at home, and we were making little pints for everyone. We'd let them taste it, see what we could do to improve. The flavors like cumin honeycomb and others have been just an evolutionary process. They come and go as the seasons come and go, and as we get new ingredients and requests. We're always changing.
And our first flavor actually was buttermilk. We did it for the first Cornbread Festival, and it actually wasn't like our finest flavor. I mean, we got our commercial ice cream machine the day before.
We had no chance to practice with it.
And we just had to, like, our first batch was what we were going to use for the competition, and we did. And it worked. We won our category for non-traditional cornbread.
Mm-hmm. And this was the first Cornbread Festival?
Right.
You all were at the second festival this year, too, right?
And we won the same category.
Same category 2 years in a row.
People like ice cream and cornbread.
That's not really a combination that that you would think would go together, but you all are kind of becoming known for doing that sort of thing. I know that you, I think just last night I had an event with Vino's where you were doing beer with floats, and also boozy milkshakes at Whitewater Tavern. Mm-hmm. How has that been working with some of the other local eateries back
and forth?
Boozy
milkshakes at Whitewater have been a huge hit. We've had, we've done this 3 times now, and we sold out the first 2 times in under 3 hours. We sold out a full 6 gallons of ice cream. The third time, it was kind of a cold, rainy day, so we didn't quite sell out, but...
What goes into making a boozy milkshake, other than the ice cream, of course?
Well, instead of adding syrup and milk, we just add liquor and milk.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's great.
And with the beer, it's just... I actually was here when you guys had your preview party.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that day y'all were doing... I think I had a
stout
Vino
place.
Stout with the...
Right.
It was a chocolate cherry ice cream.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That I thought was just fantastic. And...
Yeah, the beer ice cream combo is quite a bit better than you would expect.
I think there were a few people at the table who were, they kind of, but I like both of those things so much that I think it was inevitable. I would love it. what's your average day like here at the Green Corner store? Do you have peak business days? Obviously, weather probably affects people wanting ice cream, but.
Yeah.
Is it more of a lunch crowd, an evening crowd?
There's kind of a lunch rush, and then there's usually an after-school evening-type rush for parents who are bringing in their kids. And
high schoolers buying pints and splitting it with their friends.
Right. The weekends, though, are the busiest time. Sundays, we're pretty much slammed
all
the time during the farmer's market, and Saturdays are pretty hectic all day long as well.
And during the day at the soda fountain, we're not only, like, taking care of the soda fountain customers, we're just getting orders ready for our wholesale clients and caterings and doing that in the kitchen as well.
So where did the name Loblolly come from? Why have you picked a name of a pine tree to be your, the name of your ice cream company?
It started at Vino's.
Yeah.
Because we were saying to our friends, if you come up with a name for our ice cream company, we'll give you ice cream for life.
So all of our friends were trying to pitch ideas to us, and we wanted it to be an Arkansas-centered sort of name so that we could stick with our Arkansas theme. And our lovely friend Ryan Dunn from Bussy Scott pitched the idea of Loblolly Creamery, and we loved it because it sounds like you have a mouthful of ice cream when you say it.
And it also, it does sound good, Loblolly Creamery. It kind of rolls off the tongue well. So,
one of my favorite parts of the soda fountain is watching people read our menu board and read Loblolly over and over and over again, just saying it in their head.
That's really actually funny. Before the interview, I said, I need to practice saying Loblolly, or I'm gonna pronounce it some strange alien way.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to know. You mentioned one of the local gardens here. I see you've got a Dunbar Fresh Fennel ice cream on the menu right now.
Yeah.
I also know that you guys do, once a month charity flavor?
Right. Dunbar's our charity this month, which is why we have the Dunbar Fresh Fennel.
And Dunbar is a community garden on Chester. Kids from magnet schools go and learn about growing vegetables
and taking care of a
taking
farm.
Care of, yeah. of yeah, and it's a fully workable garden. It's a lot of good stuff comes out of there. What other charities have you guys worked with, and what makes you pick a charity to work with?
Well, next month is Bike Month, so we'll be our nonprofit will be Recycle Bike for Kids, and we did this last year in May, and it'll be Handlebar Crunch. It's a crunchy sweet cream flavor with a bunch of
granola.
Yeah, like granola, chocolate chunks, like kitchen sink stuff. Mm-hmm. But we really pick nonprofits that kind of fit with the mission of the store, that are neighborhood friends and family. And that also are involved in our community. So Dunbar, we use a lot of their produce. We do events with them. Recycle Bikes for Kids promotes biking. That's
right.
Kind of healthy and sustainable. Other ones have...
Dreamland Ballroom.
Yes. Dreamland Ballroom is an awesome historic ballroom that the Friends of Dreamland are renovating and restoring. So we decided to help them. What else?
Firehouse Hostel.
Ooh, that was fun. Yeah, so they're building a hostel at.
Is that
MacArthur
the one you did
Park.
The jalapeno cream?
Yeah, jalapeno.
I thought that was really good. It was a jalapeno and white cheese based, fromage based ice cream.
Kind of like sweet frozen cheese dip.
That's exactly what I said. I said as if this were not as sweet, you could smear this on crackers and it would be everybody's cheese ball. But the sweet cold worked, and it had a good little bit of spice to it. I enjoyed that one.
I liked it.
And you talk about being a member of the community and a member of a sustainable movement. I think that Soma here has really become known for having that attitude, for being a community who just, from everything that I've heard, it just seemed like everybody got together and said, we're going to revitalize ourselves. It wasn't necessarily grants and government intervention. It really was a kind of a grassroots effort.
Oh, yeah. It was fully private funded.
And how do you see Loblolly Creamery and the Green Corner Store as a part of that neighborhood?
Well, actually, before the Root Cafe and Boulevard Bread came in, the Green Corner Store was here. They were really only, Community Bakery, in Midtown have been staples down in this neighborhood, and Community Bakery was the first kind of retail place open, and then Midtown. And then, but no one would go past 13th Street hardly. Not sure why. I mean, after the tornado,
and you had Juanita's
at
one point.
And Juanita's.
Right, right.
I miss you, Juanita's. I want a margarita. So the store was really the only thing down on this corner. And then the Boulevard and Root Cafe came in. So kind of Shelly Green, the owner of the Green Corner Store, kind of helped people come down here.
She's been a big encouragement to bring other businesses.
And ice cream is really friendly, and so if that can help people get down here, that helps too.
Well, and you've got a pretty friendly building here. You've got some really wide open windows that let in a lot of light. There's this old tile floor.
Original.
That's original to the building. Outside, you've got a really interesting bench out here. Made specifically. Oh, there are two. Yeah, two now.
Yeah, and they're all made out of recycled wood, and one is kind of like a line, and there's an old school chair, a recycled skateboard, a recycled suitcase, and one chair made out of a pallet. So it again goes with our mission of the store is, make something out of old, or recycle, reuse.
I've noticed that even a lot of the landscaping around here is herbs, rosemary and different herbs, which smell wonderful when you're walking by and the breeze kicks up. But it seems to me that a lot of places they build up and they make the landscaping is just an afterthought of we need just greenery to fill something. It really seems like here that thought was put into it. And at the Root Cafe across the street that there was a lot of thought put into.
Soma's a great neighborhood. It seems like all of the businesses have been very intentional in their efforts, put a lot of thought into everything.
So, and everybody pretty much gets along around the area. I mean, not that I'm trying to dig up any skeletons out of your closet, but there's a lot of good play between the different, because you got kind of four corners here of places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
it's a friendly small town within a large town.
And there's a lot of play with history and kind of modern tastes. So we have Quapaw Quarter Association and the Governor's Mansion, the historic Governor's Mansion, and we're in a historic building, but then there's like these new modern flavors like the Root Cafe and what they're doing with, you know, Southern food and what we're doing with traditional soda fountain flavors. And then, you know, in architecture, there's Paul Page dwellings with the kind of square shaped modern style houses. So that all plays in with the community and kind of the dynamic of this neighborhood.
Well, moving from community back to ice cream, what goes into making a big, how many gallons are these ice cream tubs that you have here in the freezer case that you're scooping out of?
Each of our tubs is a gallon and a half, and at any given time we have 24 gallon and a half tubs in the dipping cabinet. We do 3 gallon batches, so each tub is half a batch, and it takes about a full 24 hours to produce it because we let the base age overnight before we churn it.
Is that 3 gallons every 24 hours, or do you do multiple?
It's multiple. We're usually doing 18 to 24 gallons each day.
And it's not just ice cream scooped into bowls. You're also doing milkshakes. The fountain has syrup either for sodas or for toppings.
Right.
And you got your floats. And I know that, Rachel, you've got a background in baking, and you've been doing a lot of the waffle cone chocolate and regular recipes and the brownies.
Right. I started out, my first real food job was at Rosalia's Family Bakery in Cafe Bossa Nova. And I was their gluten-free and vegan baker for a year and a half. It was a lot of fun. And after Sally asked me to participate in this, we just figured, you know, why not make everything gluten-free? Because if you make it taste good, then there's no reason why people who eat gluten wouldn't also eat gluten-free, and we don't have to bother with marking things as gluten-free and encouraging people to order it.
Also keeps you from having to worry about cross-contamination in the
right.
kitchen.
It's much easier when you don't keep any wheat around.
So it's all gluten-free, and you don't have to worry about some
sneaking
in there.
It works with the store. Everything she sells a lot of gluten-free products, and then also that way we can support the Arkansas rice farmers.
Mm-hmm. We use a lot of brown rice from local
farms.
Rachel
makes her own flour blends.
And how does that work?
I use a Vitamix to grind brown rice.
It's really loud.
Really,
we make everything from scratch using whole ingredients.
So is it just grinding up rice, or do you grind up rice and then have to put additives in? You don't have to give away your secret recipe.
I grind up rice and sift it to get the big pieces out and then add other sort of starches and whatnot to help lighten up the mix a bit.
And how different is that from flour baking?
It's totally different. Flour-based baking, you're working with gluten, obviously, to create the structure of any given product, and that's a protein. And in gluten-free baking, you replace a protein with usually a carbohydrate or a gel of some sort, so you can never quite replicate the texture that you would have with gluten, but you can get close. Well, it's totally different.
Well, I've noticed that the waffle cones, you can tell a difference with texture, and that's not a bad thing. But the flavor is right there, especially, I think you guys did a chicken waffle waffle cone taco for a Whitewater Tavern that Jonathan Wilkins down there has run as a special, and it was a gooey mess, but it was delicious. But the cones held up really well in the taco shape, and they hold up really well in the ice cream cone shape, too. I think anybody who's used to going and getting a waffle cone will be happy with what they get here. People don't be afraid of gluten-free, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Because most of the time we don't really publicize it. I mean, at the soda fountain, there isn't big signs that say we're gluten-free on our menu board. It doesn't say that. It's just a happy coincidence.
Yeah, it's always really fun to have people who are celiac come in and say, oh, you can't eat gluten, so what am I allowed to have here? And when you say anything, they're very excited by that.
Because you all are doing the ice cream sandwiches, too.
Right.
And that's all.
And the brownie sundaes.
Right.
And it's all gluten-free product.
Every time.
And all the ice creams.
Except for the beer-based ice creams.
Oh, yeah.
Occasionally we do the beer ice creams with Vino's beer, and that's not gluten-free.
But we use a separate ice cream maker. Now that we have a new facility, we get to really separate everything.
Let's talk about your new facility then. You guys started off where? Just in the kitchen of a church, wasn't it?
Right. We were at Trinity Episcopal Cathedral, sharing with Kent Walker and a few other businesses when we first started. And we were there for about a year and a half. Almost a year and a half. And it was a challenge, just because you're never sure of who's in your space, and you've got to share, you'll walk in with everybody in a storage room, and you know, things get moved. Did that
work on a schedule? Did you have to book certain times to come in, or was it pretty free?
It was pretty free and flexible.
That's good.
Yeah.
But you guys
are very appreciative that they let us
yes,
do that.
Yes, oh my goodness. We couldn't have become what we are without them.
Absolutely not.
But you've moved into some new facilities. I know that the last time I spoke with you all for an article we did for the Arkansas Times, you were about to move and really excited about it. But you're in now.
My goodness,
we're
in it's now. Beautiful.
It is. We have purple floors.
So how much space is that purple. Compared to what you had?
It's about the same size kitchen, but it's all our space now.
Yeah.
So we have at least a twofold improvement.
And we have beautiful freezers that are set at different temperatures for different stages for ice cream.
We have a hardening cabinet to keep the ice cream texture intact. As soon as we churn it, we can put it in a negative 20 degree freezer to freeze it very quickly, and then we can move it over to our holding cabinet. It's nice having different.
We have a dishwasher.
That's amazing.
That's a nice.
We Dan calls him Big Boy, but we have a
Fat Boy.
Oh, Fat Boy.
Fat Boy.
Oh, excuse me. But it's like a giant 5-gallon ice cream maker. So
3 gallon.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
I just watch it churn.
So you actually have to take it from the churning and it goes into a quick freezing,
right?
So that the ice crystals stay small,
right?
Because it is a very smooth ice cream, and I think.
Thank you.
A lot of people, if you've tried to make ice cream at home and it doesn't get cold fast enough, it's grainy and it's the taste is there, but the texture is bad.
Right.
And the ice cream here, the flavor is definitely there. But the challenge of getting that really thick, smooth consistency is something that I've had pretty much in every scoop I've had. And I've, to tell you the truth, I've had more than I'd like to admit on tape how much I've eaten of this stuff, whether in pints from some of the local places or here at the store.
Awesome.
So it's good to get smooth. It's good smooth ice cream,
oh,
I guess.
Good. Thank you.
So was your new kitchen, was that your celebratory move for going to ice cream school this year?
I guess so. We had hoped to move in there as soon as we got back from ice cream school and just have a fresh start. It wasn't quite finished in time for that. But.
What was that? I kept up with you on Facebook some, but a lot of people probably didn't realize that there is an ice cream university or an ice cream class
yeah.
with people from all over the country. You were there with, I think you said somebody from one of David Chang's kitchens.
Yeah,
right.
Cuckoo Milk Bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Her last name's Tosi.
Yeah, she's the
Christina
baker.
Tosi.
Yeah, but she's amazing.
She's
and King of Pops from Atlanta. They're amazing popsicles.
And people from Blue Bunny.
Salt and Straw from Portland.
Mm-hmm. So what goes on in an ice cream school? Is it just flavor techniques?
It was a
freezing
little bit
techniques?
Of everything.
Yeah.
We had refrigeration physics classes. We had
sugar
and sweeteners. We had a vanilla day, a chocolate day. We even had
a lot of tasting and analysis.
Right.
That was
labs.
That must be difficult to have to taste tons of ice cream.
Yeah.
What was really interesting was tasting vanilla extract. We had different extracts diluted at 5% and sweetened to just a little bit, so we'd have to slurp them like wine and write down tasting notes. It was really,
really cool. It made us appreciate Tahitian vanilla beans like 10 times more than we already did, and we already loved it.
Right.
Yeah, oh my goodness. I want to put Tahitian vanilla beans in everything. Great. But it was an interesting class because they fit a whole semester in 10 days. And,
it was intense.
It was intense. And then we had an exam. And Rachel was one of the valedictorians. She was the top 10 of our class.
That doesn't surprise me.
She had a little award, and we were so giddy. It was hilarious, but we were so proud because we were kind of the oddballs from Arkansas, and we did everything from scratch. Slow,
right.
Bad, not efficient, not long shelf life. We don't want preservatives. And that was a little bit different than their teachings.
Explaining that to the professors and the instructors was unusual.
They're like,
they thought we were very weird.
Kombucha. And that's one thing I really I love about this store.
Great.
It's kind of a total package. If you don't want ice cream, first of all, you're crazy, but they do have other things. One of them is a kombucha, and for people who don't know what kombucha is, Rachel, why don't you tell the listeners what is kombucha?
Kombucha is a fermented tea. It's a lightly sweetened tea that is fermented with a SCOBY or a mother, and SCOBY is S-C-O-B-Y, and it stands for Symbiotic Colony of Bacteria and Yeast. So the flavor is really unique. The bacteria and the yeast produce a lactic acid, so you have sort of a vinegar tang to it, a little like apple cider vinegar. And you also get these strings of culture all throughout it and these little bits of yeast that settle.
It's alive. It's growing.
It's alive. It's a little effervescent, and it's a little different every day depending on the weather.
But you all, I see that you have it on draft now, but a lot of times you've had it bottled up and ready to go, and
we've got some of that too.
It's a refreshing drink. I'm a big fan of it. You use a lot of your own syrups to make different flavored.
Mm-hmm. We've also been doing chia seed kombucha lately as well, so adding chia seeds to help plump it up and give you a little extra nutrition.
And you do some of it with black tea and some with green, right?
Right.
So that's a different the dark and light kombucha that flavor differently.
And if you don't want to try that beverage, we have all homemade soda syrups and. Rachel has her secret cola recipe that's really good.
It's better than Coca-Cola.
And what I love about it is we don't use any caramel coloring, so it's completely clear. So some people have questioned whether it's actually cola, and just try it. See what it tastes like. It's really crazy. It's like an eye taste bud.
It's a disconnect for people.
I like it.
Well, we're talking here today with Sally Mingle and Rachel Moore of Loblolly Creamery. You got some good future plans coming up. I hear there's rumors of an ice cream truck possibly in the future.
Soon. Really soon.
And is this going to be with the music playing and the whole nine yards?
Oh, yeah, I already have. Actually, today someone was helping me with our ice cream truck playlist. I have it. And I don't know what the song is called, but our tune is going to have the Menomina. Phenomena. It's gonna be awesome. I'm so excited.
So is this something you wanna drive around the neighborhood or take to events, I'm sure?
It's more for taking to events and setting up.
And deliveries, making sure transportation, our ice cream is kept cold is really important. And also it's just nice to have kind of a presence. It's like a free billboard on wheels.
Sure.
And another thing that's really cool about the truck is that we got a Kiva loan. Kiva is crowdsourcing, so it's kind of like Kickstarter, but people get their money back, so it's a loan. And we did it for solar power for our truck. So all the freezers and any of the equipment will be powered by the sun, which is kind of ironic because our main enemy of ice cream is the sun.
It's heat, the sun, sure.
So we'll play on that with our truck wrapping, our decoration.
Yes. Ladies, I'd like to thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
The store is the Green Corner Store. The ice cream company is Loblolly Creamery, and they stand ready for ice cream, gluten-free products, and a whole lot more. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're back. I'm Mary Tweet, and this is Arkansas Cooks. I think Michael did a great job on his very first interview. He was nervous, but I thought he asked great questions. I thought he got a really wonderful interview from Sally Mingle and Rachel Moore at Loblolly Creamery. Thank you, Sally and Rachel. It was fantastic. Now, you can find out more about Loblolly Creamery by going to loblollycreamery.com. You can find them on Facebook, or you can go to my website, arkansascooks.com, and you can find out all about them. Now, if you're interested in writing me, you can do that as well at mary@arkansascooks.com. I love to hear from you folks. The stuff I get is always fantastic. Well, that's all the time we have today for Arkansas Cooks. Thanks for tuning in. I want to thank our new reporter, Michael Roberts. And I also want to thank Sally Mingle and Rachel Moore from Loblolly Creamery. They were fantastic. We have to thank Travis Hill for the tremendous help that I get. He makes me sound so good. This is Mary Tweet reminding all you Arkansas cooks, life is too short to eat bad food, so only eat good food. Eat it with great people, people that you love. It'll taste so much better.